Well, good morning to you all. I'd ask you to take out your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, that's where we're going to have our study based this morning. Luke chapter 15. And what a wonderful thing it is to be able to come together and to praise our wonderful God who sent us Jesus, who makes it possible for us to have a home in heaven. This world is not our home. And thankfully, as Christians, our home is heaven because of what Jesus has done for us. What a great time to be together, to remember that, to know that, to learn more about what God wants from us so that we can make it to our home in heaven when our life is over. Thank you for being here. Luke chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says this. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." You know, the Bible makes clear in many different places that Jesus' teaching, it captured the attention of all different sorts of people. It didn't matter where you were in life or what you did in life, what kind of station you were at socioeconomically, what kind of race you had. Everybody, all different kinds of people were attracted to the teaching of Jesus. He captured their attention. And so here in Luke chapter 15, what we see is that it's not just the religious and the comfortable and the well-to-do and the righteous who are coming to Jesus and trying to hear what he has to say, but it's others too. It is the poor and the broken, the destitute, the ne'er-do-wells, the sinful. As it tells us in Luke chapter 15, even the tax collectors and the sinners were drawn to him. That may not sound like much in our day, but in their day, being a tax collector, man, you're the worst of the worst. And even those people are drawn to Jesus. That's what's happening in Luke chapter 15. And in Luke chapter 15, verse 12, verse 2, it tells us that when these tax collectors and sinners came to Jesus, along with everybody else, the religious and the righteous and the comfortable, well, the religious people in the crowd started to grumble about that. They were upset. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." You know, the thing that Jesus did wrong in their eyes, it wasn't just that Jesus was willing to teach the sinners or rebuke the sinners or instruct the sinners, but Jesus was willing to receive the sinners and eat with the sinners, right? He wasn't the kind of person that was going to look at somebody and say, "You know, you've been living a pretty terrible life. I'm going to keep you at arm's length. You don't need to be anywhere close to me. You religious people, you good people, you eat with me. I'll receive you. But you sinners, you tax collectors, you stay over there. I don't want anything to do with you." Right? Jesus wasn't that kind of person. Jesus would receive the sinners and he would eat with them. So the Pharisees and the scribes, what they're really upset about is that Jesus treats the tax collectors and the sinners exactly the same as he treats the Pharisees and the scribes. He'll receive anyone. He'll eat with anyone. He'll teach anybody. And that's exactly what the Pharisees and the scribes are grumbling about. And so when Jesus perceives that they're grumbling, that they're upset that he would receive and eat with tax collectors and sinners, Jesus decides he needs to teach them a lesson. So he opens up in verse 3 and he tells them this parable saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." So Jesus, to teach these scribes and Pharisees a lesson, he tells them a parable. He talks about a shepherd who has 100 sheep in an open pasture. And you know the story, right? Out of all those 100 sheep, one of them gets lost. One of them strays away from the herd, gets separated from the rest of them, and gets lost and can't find its way back home. And so that shepherd goes out in search of that sheep. He leaves the 99 and he goes after that one sheep. And he says, who among you wouldn't do this, right? Because these scribes and Pharisees understand that if they had those 100 sheep and they were the shepherd, they would do the exact same thing that Jesus describes in this parable. Because even scribes and Pharisees recognize that every sheep in the flock is valuable. And so Jesus says, you need to recognize that it's not just every sheep in a flock that's valuable, but in the eyes of God and in my eyes, it's every single soul that's valuable. Just like this shepherd would go off in search of this one lost sheep, Jesus and God will go off in pursuit of one lost soul. And just like a shepherd would pick up that sheep and carry it all the way home and rejoice with his neighbors that he had found the sheep that was lost, God and Jesus and the Spirit, they rejoice when any lost sheep, any lost soul comes back to God. The point of this parable, the lesson that the Pharisees needed to hear, is that, brothers and sisters, every single soul matters. Can you say that with me? Every single soul matters. Not just the religious, not just the well-to-do, not just the comfortable, not just the rich. Every single soul matters to God. That's what the shepherd shows us. Every sheep he has matters to him. Every sheep he loses is worth pursuing. And every time he finds it, it's worth rejoicing. And Jesus feels the same about every lost soul. Every soul that God created matters to him. And every soul that leaves God is worth pursuing. And every time a lost soul comes home, it's a time for rejoicing. Every single soul matters. And I think that we have to appreciate that just like in Jesus' day, just like in Luke 15, there are people in Jesus' day who struggle to see that, that every single soul matters to God. We have to appreciate that in our day and in our time, we see the same thing in our world, that there are some people who struggle to see that every single soul matters. There are some people who believe that some people, some souls matter more than others. And that's because even back in Luke 15, the world is the same. It is ruled by the devil, and he tells us the same lie. He convinces men to believe the same lie, that some souls matter more than others. And I think if we look around in our culture, we look around in our world, we can see that on full display, that in some ways, some people believe some souls matter more than others. Some people believe that. Some people believe some souls matter more than others because they are of a different race. That's certainly true, isn't it? We've seen that in the history of the world. Some people say, you know what? You matter more than somebody else, or you matter more less than somebody else because you're of a different race. You're from a different nation. You have a different ethnicity than I do, and that makes you more or less valuable. We've seen that in our world. And some people say, you matter more, you matter less based on what your gender is. That some genders ultimately matter more. They mean more than others. We see that in the past. And I think, honestly, we see that a little bit today. I'm sure many of you know that for years in the nation of China, there was a one-child policy, right? You knew about that, which was most families, not every single family, but most families were only allowed to have and bear one child. And as a result of that, tragically, 400 million babies were aborted during that period of time in the nation of China. And as horrific as that is, imagine this, that families in China valued boy babies over girl babies so much that today there are 33 million more men in China than women. And what does that say to you? What does that teach? When there are so many more families that say, I want a boy rather than I want a girl, it says that some people look at gender and they say, you matter more because you're of this gender and you matter less because you're of that one. Some people think some souls matter more. Or how about this? Sometimes we believe that someone matters more because they possess a different level of wealth than somebody else. Is that true? Do you think that could be true? That some people in our world may look at other people and say, you know, my well-to-do neighbor who makes a good salary and who can take care of himself, he matters more than somebody else. And maybe if we're honest with ourselves, we'll admit that there are times when we have that own thought ourselves. Do I really think deep down in my heart that the homeless man who lives under the bridge is just as valuable, just as precious as the person who lives in the nice house next to me? Do I really believe that every single soul is precious in the eyes of God? And there are some who say there are some people who matter more than others because they have a greater intellect than other people. Smart people matter more than people who are not as smart. Smart people matter more than those who can't think as well. Or maybe this, people who are not mentally handicapped matter more than those who are. I don't know if you've heard about this. Did you know that in the nation of Iceland, nearly 100% of babies who have Down syndrome are aborted? Did you know that last year in a nation of nearly 350,000 people, there were only 3 babies with Down syndrome who were born? The rest were discarded. And what does that say? What does that say? It says that there are some people in this world who say, you know what? If you don't have an intellect, if you are mentally handicapped, you don't matter as much as other people. Some people matter more than others. And we do that in other ways as well. Some people think, well, you matter more than others based on physical beauty. Can't you see that to be true in our culture? I mean, look, who remembers going to high school, right? If you've ever been to high school, then you know it's definitely true. There are some people who think you matter more, you mean more, you're more valuable if you're more attractive than somebody else. Isn't that true? Which has led in our country to an epidemic of eating disorders and self-image issues among our young people. People who believe that what they're going to find their worth in, what's going to make them valuable, what makes them matter, is how pretty they are. And then you have the issue of sin. There are some people who say some people matter more than others because some people are more sinful than others. There are people in our world who believe that our value is determined by our past. There are some people who believe that you matter more because in your past, it's not as checkered as other people, right? You didn't engage in as much sin as somebody else. You didn't engage as egregious sin as somebody else. And because of that, because you've been, you know, a little bit more righteous, a little bit more better, well, you matter more than other people. That's exactly what we see in Luke 15. That's what the Pharisees and scribes are doing. Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to listen to him, but both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." It was fine in the eyes of the scribes and the Pharisees for Jesus to receive scribes and Pharisees and eat with them and teach them, but it wasn't okay for him to eat with and teach tax collectors and sinners. That was scandalous. And the implication there is, brothers and sisters, that because the tax collectors and sinners had sinned so much, well, they just weren't valuable to God anymore. That's the implication. That some sin, the sins of the tax collectors and the sinners, it meant that they weren't precious in God's eyes anymore. That's what the scribes and Pharisees thought. That because of their sins, some people matter more. Because of their sins, some people aren't worth pursuing. Can you see that? Can you see that to be true in our world today? That there are some people who think some people matter more than others. And I want you to notice that Jesus, through his teaching and through his example, what he does is he overwhelmingly dispels that lie of the devil. And he convincingly shows us that every single soul matters. Every person is precious in the eyes of God. He teaches us that in Luke chapter 7. Do you remember that story in Luke chapter 7 when Jesus, he's at dinner with these really important religious people. And as he's sitting there at dinner with them, there is this, she's just called a sinful woman from the city. Many commentators have assumed that this was a prostitute. And she barges into dinner while he's eating there with these important religious leaders. And she begins to anoint his feet and wash his feet with her hair. And the religious leaders they're horrified that Jesus would allow this terrible, sinful woman to even touch him. And yet Jesus allows her. He allows her to interrupt dinner. He allows her to touch him and to wash his feet with her hair. And to the religious leaders, he says this in Luke 7 and verse 47, "For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven." It didn't matter that she was a sinful woman from the city. Her soul was precious in the eyes of Jesus. Every single soul matters. And Jesus teaches that in Mark chapter 5, when in Mark chapter 5, Jesus encounters the terrifying demon-possessed man, right, in the land of Gennesaret, right? And so he and his disciples, they get off the boat, and as soon as they get off, they're met by this man who's been living by himself, who is demon-possessed, who's not wearing any clothes, who's been living among the graves and gashing himself with stones. And when they get there, Jesus, instead of going into the city and talking to the same people who are wearing clothes, Jesus stops. He asks the demon-possessed man what his name is. He shows that he cares about him, and then he casts the demon out. Mark 5 and verse 15, "They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, and they became frightened." And Jesus again shows us that every single soul matters to him. And Jesus teaches us that again in John chapter 4 when he encounters that woman at the well, a woman whose lifestyle was as ungodly as they could be, as worldly as they could be, a woman who'd been divorced 4 times and was living with someone who wasn't her husband. And rather than passing over her or saying she doesn't matter, Jesus instead sits with her and talks to her and teaches her and helps her and talks to her about salvation. Jesus answered and said to her, John 4:10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Jesus shows us when he talks to the Samaritan woman at the well that every single soul matters, even the soul of an ungodly Samaritan woman. And I hope what you see in those stories is that every single soul matters to God. Every single soul matters to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That there is something in every single person that is precious in the eyes of God that goes deeper than what we see on the surface. I hope when you read those stories, what you think about is you think about the people that are in our day and the people that are in our time who would be in similar situations like that. The people that we sometimes are tempted to look at and say, well, they matter less because of this reason and this reason and this reason. Jesus shows us convincingly over and over and over again, there is something precious in each and every one of us that goes beyond what we look like on the outside, what we've done in our past, where we live. There's something precious about me that makes me valuable, that makes me matter in the eyes of God. Every single soul matters. I need to remember that. And I need to repeat that on a daily basis. And I need to take that truth and I need to bury it deep down inside myself, deep down in my heart, so that it comes out in my actions. Every single soul matters to God. And I think once we've buried that attitude within ourselves, that's going to change the way I act in two very important ways. Let me talk to you about those two ways, and then we'll be done. Let's talk about adjusting our perspective. When I truly believe what Jesus believed, that every single soul matters to God, it's going to change me in two very important ways. First of all, that should affect me personally. There we go. That should have a personal effect on me. That when I realize that every single person matters to God, that should change. That should give me some perspective on the person that I see in the mirror every single morning. Now, it's true for those of us who struggle with pride, for those of us who think a little too highly of ourselves, then that realization should really be, it should be a humbling thing, right? When I look in the mirror and I see somebody, man, he's pretty great. He's better than all these other people. When I realize how Jesus treated everybody, when I realize that every single soul matters, it should help me see I'm not better than other people. I don't need to exalt myself. You know, I don't need to pursue my own interest above the interest of others, because God, they matter to God just as much as I matter to God. But I'll tell you this, for those who struggle with pride, this should lead to greater humility, but that's not who I'm thinking about this morning when I make this point about how this should affect me personally. This morning, I'm thinking about those on the other end of the spectrum. I'm thinking about those who struggle to see value in themselves. Have you ever been there? You ever been that person who struggled with whether or not you really were precious to God? After what you've done or where you are. I'm thinking this morning about those who look in the mirror and they see someone who isn't important. They see someone who isn't special, somebody who doesn't matter to others, and maybe someone who truly believes they really don't matter to God. And what Jesus is teaching us in Luke 15 verses 1 through 7 with this parable of the lost sheep, what he's teaching us and really throughout the entire chapter is that we matter to God, that every single soul matters, and that no matter how I feel about myself and no matter what other people have said to me, no matter how I've been treated, that I am just as valuable and I am just as important and I am just as loved in the eyes of God as anyone else. And you need to realize that if you obey the gospel and you are baptized for the remission of your sins in the name of Jesus, then you need to realize you are just as saved as anyone else. And I want you to think about that with me for a second, that if you've been baptized in Jesus' name, the Bible says you are precious. It says you are precious enough to be called a child of God, right? Think about that. 1 John 3 and verse 1. See how great a love that the Father has bestowed upon us that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you have been baptized for remission of your sins in the name of Jesus, you are God's child. That's amazing. That's how precious you are. And the Bible goes on and says, if I have been baptized in water in Jesus' name to have my sins washed away, then I am special enough to be called a useful part of God's church. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. For even as the body is one, yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. No matter what you think of yourself, no matter what people have said about you, you matter in God's church. You're special. You're valuable. And if you've been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, then you're special enough for God to send the Holy Spirit to live in you. Think about that. Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? What an amazing thing to think that I am that valuable and I am that precious in the eyes of God. That God would allow his Spirit to live in me. Despite what I've done in the past. No matter my race, no matter my gender, no matter my intellect, no matter how pretty I am. He will have his Spirit live in me. Every single soul matters to God, and that means every soul is worth pursuing. Every soul is something to rejoice about in heaven, and every soul is valuable in the eyes of God. That should affect you personally. you do matter. And let me say this secondly, that should also adjust our perspective evangelistically. That should have an effect on me about how I go about doing the work of the church when I realize that every single soul matters. When we go out into this world, brothers and sisters, we need to carry with us the mentality of Jesus, the mentality that said every single soul matters, every single soul is valuable. There are not some that are more important than others, that we're not going to be the kind of people that pick and choose who we want to talk to and who we want to try to convert. We are not going to let the way that some people try to categorize people, right? We're not going to let the way that some people in the world try to say some people are more important than other people. We're not going to let that affect us as we go about the work of the Lord. We're not just going to go out and look for people of a certain race. And we're not just going to go out and look for people of a certain intellect or a certain gender. We're not going to go out and just look for people of a certain socioeconomic status. We're going to be the kind of people that pursue the soul of the homeless man as much as we pursue the soul of our neighbor. Is it true that you, like Jesus, see value in every single person? No matter what they look like, no matter where they've been, no matter what they've done. And I'll be honest with you this morning, I struggle with that. In times past, I've struggled with that greatly. When it comes to my evangelism, sometimes I've thought to myself, well, you know, that person over there, they're just not worth pursuing because they're not very talented. They don't bring very much to the table. Well, that person over there, they're not worth pursuing because if they ever became baptized, they'd be so much work and they never really would grow into anything special. To my shame, there have been times I've thought to myself, well, that person isn't worth pursuing because they're near the end of their lives. And they won't spend much time in service to God. If we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we carry the mentality of the scribes and the Pharisees in ourselves. Some people matter more than others. Some sheep are worth pursuing and some sheep just aren't worth the chase. And I hope we would have in ourselves the attitude of Jesus, that every single soul matters. And I hope that would affect you on a daily basis. Every soul matters. Every soul is worth pursuing. And any soul, no matter who it is, what they look like, is a time of rejoicing when they come home to the Lord. Let us live our lives with that truth in mind. Amen? And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you realize that your soul is valuable to God, but you have yet to decide to give your life to God. The Bible tells us that Jesus, no matter who we are, where we are, where we're from, Jesus is going to pursue us. He wants us. We are valuable to Him. And right now, this morning, if you are not saved, if you're not a part of the church, if you've not been baptized for the remission of your sins and had your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus, you need to know that Jesus is pursuing you. And that if you want to become a child of God today, you can do that. And the Bible tells us how we need to do that. That if we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we're willing to repent of the way that we've lived our lives, the sins that I've committed that caused Him to go to the cross, and I'm willing to confess His name, my belief in Him before men, then I can be baptized in water. I can go down and rise, having my sins cleansed, and walk in newness of life. As Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3, those who have been baptized have been clothed with Christ. If you need to do that this morning, we invite you to come to the front. We'll help you. We'll help you be found by Jesus. Come to the front while we stand and while we sing.